Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Eddie Banks and Minister Tamika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Heart to Heart family. It is such a delight to be here every Saturday morning with you all. Today I will be the host because Apostle Banks is with family on today. They're spending time together, and so she won't be on today. She might pop in, I'm not sure. But you will have me today. Yay. But I am going to miss, her portion of it, her wisdom, her accolades that she gives me, you know, every Saturday morning where my cheeks are hurting from smiling so hard. But I do thank God for her and her life and her love, everything about her. I just, you know, thank God for the connection and allowing us to meet, allowing us to become, you know, family through ministry. So to God be the glory in all things that he does, even when we don't understand what's going on at that moment. Sometimes things don't add up according to how we see it, but God is doing something that is going to later bless your life. And that's why you have to trust him in all things. So, again, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness to this show, your dedication to the show. You know, right now where I am in Maryland, it's a little gloomy here, but it's okay because my eyes are open, which means that God got me through the night. He protected me. He protected you if you're on here and you're listening. So to God be the glory for that protection that he extends to us each and every day, you know, each and every night while we're sleeping, he's protecting. And so we just give God praise for all things. We rejoice over all things. And so, just good morning to each and every one of you. I'm not going to do the individual shout outs like our beloved apostle does, but you know who you are. And again, thank you so much for your faithfulness to this show. So before I go any further, I will open up in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, 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 Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you are doing. Thank you, Father God, for keeping us. Thank you, Father God, for ministering to us, oh God. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for pulling us closer to you and wrapping us in your loving arms. Thank you, Lord God, just for the joy and the happiness that comes from you and you alone, Lord God. Thank you, oh God, for your perfect peace in a world full of confusion, chaos, evil, all those things that are going on in the world. God, I thank you that you are keeping us in perfect peace because our minds are stayed on you, Lord God. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you for pulling us through the trials and tribulations and the suffering, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness, Lord, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for depositing destiny within us. Thank you for trusting us with the assignment that you have given us. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. No weapon formed against your people shall prosper. And greater is he that is within me than he that is in this world. Also, Father, I pray that you would touch each and every person on this line, God. You know, Father God, what they are going through, anything, in the name of Jesus. God, you know what they're still praying about that they may not have seen the answer to yet. God, keep them holding on. Keep them in your face in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let them know that you do hear their prayers, that your prayers are not falling on deaf ears in the name of Jesus, that you are a great and mighty God, and you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, which is Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit power, Holy Spirit power, Holy Spirit power, have your way on this show today and every day. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you for being the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Father God, for everything, Lord God, that everything that we have been through. Father, we thank you that you were right there with us, that you were right there with us. Thank you for being the light in the darkness. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, oh God, hallelujah. Thank you for that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, oh God, that we are beautiful because we came from you. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, oh God. And Lord, I pray for the hearts of your people, those that may be depressed at this time because, you know, Christmas is next week. And many people become depressed around the holidays for whatever reason. They become depressed. God, I just pray that you comfort them through this time in the name of Jesus, oh God. They may have lost a loved one around this time. You know, they may have experienced some type of traumatic event around this time. They may have got a divorce around this time. Something may have happened to their children around this time. Lord God, whatever it is that causes people to be depressed around this joyous holiday, Lord God, I just ask, Lord God, that you just keep them, Lord God. Keep them holding on. Keep them trusting you. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Keep a smile on their faces. Keep their hearts happy in the name of Jesus, oh Father. Show them that you are God and God alone, and nobody is greater than you. No situation is greater than you. No trial or tribulation is greater than you. Hallelujah. You are peace. You are joy. You are love. You are happiness. You are healing. You are deliverance in the name of Jesus, oh God. And we just give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah. We honor you. We bless you. We love you. And we say thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, today we're going to be talking about the light in the darkness, and we all know who the light is. And we're going to look at Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 3, and then John chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. So starting with Isaiah 9, 1 through 3, nevertheless, the gloom of the distressed land will not be like that of the former times when he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will bring honor to the way of the sea, to the land east of the Jordan, and to the Galilee of the nations. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. You have enlarged the nation and increased its joy. The people have rejoiced before you as they rejoice at harvest time, and as they rejoice when dividing spoils. John 1, verses 1 through 9. John, in the beginning, was the Word. I'm sorry. John is the chapter. The scripture is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And the light is Jesus, the Word. And when we find ourselves in darkness, therefore, we should be inviting Jesus, the Word, into our lives to help us navigate through it. There are so many people, you know, that are living their lives without to light. They're walking in darkness and they can't see. You know, they you cannot see in darkness. How many times have you gotten up in the middle of the night to maybe, you know, go to the bathroom and you didn't turn any lights on? And in your head you're thinking, this is my house. I know everything that's in here. I know where things are. So you're telling yourself, like, I can get to the bathroom without turning on any light. I've done it before. Like, I've had to feel my way through the darkness trying to get to the bathroom. And how many people have bumped into something, have stubbed their toe on something, or, you know, thought that they were at the bathroom but was turned completely around and was in another bedroom? You know, because waking up out of your sleep, you're not fully awake, but your mind is helping you navigate to wherever it is that you're trying to get to. And many people live in a dark place. They live in a dark place. They can't see their way through the dark place because the light is not there. And in the physical, when we turn the light on, we are able to see our way through. But spiritually, we need God's light. We need Jesus to help us see through that darkness. There's no other way. There's no other way to navigate through it. There's no other way to see through it without the light of God, which is Jesus. And so we need a light in the dark culture in which we live. So thankfully, we have that in Jesus. And we should be encouraged, because the light of Christ will always break through our sin-filled world. Jesus is the light that Isaiah promised us centuries before his birth. And so, you know, in today's world, that's all we see right now is darkness. You know, and I'm kind of getting a little teary-eyed because just thinking about all our young people that have lost their lives this year. And I want to say at this point, I think the murder count or whatever, however they the statistics for Baltimore was at 320. It's probably 320 lives have been lost, and it's probably more than that because I feel like this was a week or two ago when I saw that. But how many, and a lot of those lives were young people, like younger than, you know, 30, younger than 35. And just thinking about their lives and how their lives were just cut so quickly that they didn't get a chance to live. And most were walking through darkness without the light. And it just grieves me when I think about our young people and the generation, you know, that is growing up now. And many are lost because they didn't get that upbringing like most of us had. And so they're basically trying to find their way however they find it. And most of the time it's in sin. And I don't know. It just hurts. And maybe it hurts because I have a young person. And so when I turn on the television or when I go to social media and I'm like, God, I'm about to get off of here because, you know, that's all you see is just death. And it's death of young people. And most of it stems from things like they got into an argument with someone. There may have been a physical altercation, but then it turned deadly. People don't know how to effectively communicate anymore. People don't know, and not that I'm condoning fighting, but people don't know how to fight anymore. People don't fight anymore. The answer is to go get a knife or a gun and to end your life. It's like every day we wake up, we have to pray. You know, just what happened the other day with the police officer, just sitting in her car doing her job. and how they just ran up on her and shot the patrol car up. It wasn't even an unmarked car. It was a patrol car, so they knew exactly who was in the car. And so, you know, if they're doing that to police officers just sitting there, nobody is exempt anymore. And so, you know, that is what will cause fear to most people. But people of God, we cannot live in fear. We cannot live in fear. We cannot stay in the house and be closed in the house. We can't. That is not what God wants for us. We know how to pray. We have to pray for protection every time we leave out. We have to pray for our children, our grandchildren, and not just, you know, the people that we know. We just got to pray for our young people in general, because most of them do not care about anybody else. They don't care about anybody else. They don't feel like anybody loves them. They felt like they had to grow up and make their own decisions, and they just did not get the teachings and things that they needed to become successful young people. So their option is to do what it is that they're doing. And it's just so sad that it's just a lost generation out there, and many of them are dying. Many of them are dying. And so, you know, the God's light is what they need. And, you know, we have to get to that point where we're not afraid to share the truth of who God is and show them that, you know, they are loved. And, yes, they're going to be hesitant at first. You know, they may be very disrespectful towards you, all of those things. It's because they've lived that life. And so when the light shines, or when we come and we try to minister to them, they're not going to trust us at first. They're not going to trust us. It's like trying to break down a brick wall with your bare hands. That's not going to happen. Your hands are going to be tore up. You need something more powerful, and that more powerful thing is the love of God. They need the love of God. And whatever unique ways that God gives us to minister to them, we have to. Many of them died. Listen, many of them died so young, they didn't even get a chance to get married and have children to carry on their legacies, you know. And then some of them do have children, and some don't even have a mother and father anymore. You know, some of them fathers are in jail, so they never even got to meet who their father is. It's just so sad. And then what happens is that child is now at risk of following in the same footsteps as their parents. So that is what is going on. It's like the cycle. The cycle needs to be broken. And, you know, although we may never come in contact with these people, we know how to pray, and I know our prayers are reaching God's ears, but we just have to be effective, and we just have to believe that no matter what we see, that some young person is being touched, some young person is being saved, some young person is changing his or her mind about how they are living. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. But they feel like that's the only way. That's the only way. That is their way of survival, is trying to get the enemy before that person gets them. And what they don't realize is that that person is not really the enemy. But, hey, they're not there yet, but it's up to us to help them get through. So I want to go to Isaiah 9:1-3, and it says, "Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. the land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled. But there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. So we can rejoice because we know that those people will see a great light. However, you know, and right now, it's our responsibility to tell them who the light is. And physical darkness can be a dangerous thing, but not as dangerous as spiritual darkness. And so the nation of Judah was living in spiritual darkness because of their rebellion against God. Isaiah had described how the people would see only distress, darkness, and gloom of affliction. They would face defeat, but though the destruction and darkness would be great for the people of Judah, they still had hope. And so we still have to have hope. Don't let hope die. Don't let hope fade, because there is still hope, because, you know, Jesus, you know, God is able. God is able. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. He is able. He is able. He is able. We turn it over to him, and he will give us the blueprint of how we can help people, of how we can minister to people. And yes, sometimes it is scary when we're going into unfamiliar territory to minister to people, because we definitely don't know how they are going to react. And, you know, when people reject you, they're not really rejecting you. They're rejecting the God in you. But we also have to use wisdom, that when we go to minister to people and they're being aggressive, or, you know, it seems like your life is kind of like in jeopardy or whatever, you need to get out of there. Don't stay in that situation, still trying to convince the person or the group. If they become, you know, defensive or belligerent or whatever like that, and you feel now that you are in danger, you need to get out of there. Don't continue to stay there and be like, oh, just you know, God, yes, God is good. God is all things great. Yes. But when it comes to that time when people are turned off because why, the enemy is in their heads and speaking to them, and because that's what they listen to for years, the enemy has become their God, you just plant the seed and you get out of there. You know, don't try to sit in a hostile situation. You know, listen to the voice of God. You feel uncomfortable, many a time that is God, you know, nudging you, like you need to get out of this situation. So don't ignore that when that happens. Yes, you want to help people. Yes, you want people to be saved and know God as their Lord and Savior. You do, because, you know, we are commanded to preach the gospel. Yes, we are. But at the same time, God does not put us in dangerous situations. So when you're in, you're somewhere and you feel that, that you know, you get that feeling in your belly like, something's not right, or you feel that nudge from Holy Spirit telling you, you need to leave, please adhere to it. Please listen and leave. It does not diminish who you are as a Christian. But, you know, we are the representatives of Christ. We are his representatives. And we preach the gospel. We do what it is that we are commanded to do. And we put people in God's hands, and we let him do what he needs to do in their lives. So going back to Isaiah 9, 1 through 3, so it says that, excuse me, it says that people would no longer walk in darkness when the Messiah, the light of the world, was born. And so guess what? Satan wants us in darkness. When we're stuck in darkness, we can become callous to our sin and pain. We can become blind to the dangers of this world. And worst of all, we can lose sight of God's direction and purpose for our lives. And so our young people are blind right now, some of them, not all of them. Many of them are doing great things. But some of them are blind right now because of the darkness that they lived in, that they live in, that they're friends with, that they've invited in, that they're comfortable with. They have become blind, and they have become blind to sin and pain. They don't have a regard for anybody. They're disrespectful. You know, it's just a mess. It's just a mess. And then you kind of get overwhelmed because you're like, God, why? You know, what can I do, Lord? How can I effectively minister to these people? Like, they're just so hard and bitter and mean and angry. You know, how can we really get to them? How can we get through to them, Lord God? How? And it kind of grieves you, makes your heart sad, it makes you cry, because it's like you want them to know who Jesus is. You want them to be healed. You want them to have a life, you know, live the life that God created especially for them. You know, you want them to come out of that dark place. You want all of that, but sometimes we want that more than the person really wants. And so, you know, again, we plant the seed and we let our Father do the rest. The light of Jesus exposes our sin and points to a life that is greater than a life lived in darkness. Too many people have allowed the darkness of this world to limit their perspectives in life, and they have either given up all hope of freedom from their sin, or they simply have chosen to settle for life in the darkness. Many have chosen to settle for life in the darkness because why? It's familiar. It's comfortable to them. They're fine with it. It doesn't bother them. They don't see anything wrong with it. It has become their friend, and so they don't see anything wrong until the light of God shines upon the darkness, and then they can see all those things that are wrong. You're listening to Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. This is your host today, Tabika Garnes. Apostle is with spending time with family, so she won't be on with us today. If you have any comments, you know, anything that you want to say, please press 1 on your keypad on your phone so that I can unmute you so that you can share whatever it is that you want to share, even if God is moving on your heart right now. You know, something that God is ministering to you right now, you want to share, please don't hesitate to press 1 so that I can unmute you. Thank you. All right. And so what are some ways our world walks in darkness? So Isaiah's prophecy promised a great light that would shine on the land of darkness and in our individual lives. So we see this truth in Jesus. His ways are far greater and more joyful than the ways of darkness. God's ways aren't to kill the joy in our lives. His ways are the key to joy. And so when people talk about, you know, being saved, they feel like they won't be able to do the things that they once did, which is true, especially if it was ungodly things. That is true. They won't be able to do those things anymore. But some people find sin to be fun, and that's where deception comes in. And the enemy wants them, Satan wants them to think that very thing, that sin is fun and that salvation is boring. And as long as Satan can keep people in that place, they're never going to grow. They're never going to change, and they'll continue to walk in darkness. People think that it's non-realistic to be righteous. And to, you know, and it's not, righteousness does not mean perfection. And, excuse me, I think that's what some people think. And so they won't say yes to the Lord because they feel like it's so much pressure to be perfect. And it's not that Christ is looking for you to be perfect. He's looking for you to change your sinful ways. That's it. He's not looking for you to be perfect. And I think that's where the enemy has many people deceived, because they think that they got to be perfect and they're not going to make a mistake. And you know, and so for them, that is overwhelming for them. And so they figure, I'll just continue to be me, and I'll just live my life the way that I want to live, because that's too much pressure. They feel like that's too much pressure. And so it's up to us, you know, that have that relationship with Christ to tell people that he's not looking for you to be perfect. He's just looking for you to change your sinful nature. He's looking for you to love unconditionally like he does. He's looking for you to forgive the offenses and the hurts and the betrayals that people may have caused, and that you may have caused others. Because, you know, many times hurt is not a one way. You know, some people get offended quickly because of whatever. They get offended quickly. It might be because of their childhood, you know, so they get offended quickly. And they hold on to stuff. They hold on to grudges. They sit and they become, they sit and the victim spirit overtakes them. It becomes embedded in their heart. And so that's why it's important for us to extend the love of Christ to people, even when we feel like they don't deserve it. Even if we feel like they're not going to receive it, we have to extend the love of Christ to people. Because you never know, in whatever situation, they're going to remember you extending love to them. You know, they may be in a very bad situation, and God brings back to their remembrance you and your face and whatever it is that you said to them, even when they were being mean and nasty to you. And then that would touch their heart and cause them to change their ways, because you represented Christ. You told them that you love them, and they know that they treated you mean. They know that they offended you. They know that it was some things that were said that broke your heart, that caused you, you know, to be hurt over. But you still extended God's love, and it'll come to a point where they will fall on their knees crying out to God, because they remembered that although they treated you like that, you still show God's love. And then they'll begin to realize that, yes, God is real. God is real. God is real. God is love. He is still living, but he's living through us, Holy Spirit, living through us. And so we have to leave good impressions on people, because for Christians, you know, many people don't want to fool Christians because we say we love Christ, but then some of us are so mean. Yeah, some of us are so mean. Some of us, we don't reach out. We don't help people like we should. We see things and we turn our head. We turn away from it. We don't try to help people. And so when people interact, And we say that we're Christian, some people instantly get turned off because of the interaction that they had with one. And if it was a negative interaction, of course, when they meet somebody else who say they're Christian and they love Christ, and, you know, they are apprehensive. It's going to take them a minute to let their guard down and to let you in to their lives, because they are still remembering when that interaction with the person who said they love God. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful. And yes, we are going to come in contact with people that you're like, Lord, you're going to be speechless over people that you meet or you come into contact with, because you're going to be looking at them like, are you serious? This is you. This is you're mean, you're hateful. You know, we're going to come in contact with these people, but God is looking at us to see how we are going to interact with them. Are we going to respond to them in the same way that they are responding to us, or they're interacting with us, or are we going to show them the love of Christ? And even we must show the love of Christ and walk away, because the enemy will try his best to get you to engage. And once you engage, then that person is like, yeah, you're just like the rest of them who say they love Christ. And, you know, although some people are very unlovable, very, very unlovable, we can't focus so much on that part. We still have to love them. And I'm not saying that, you know, they always have to be included in everything that you do. You know, you will feel obligated that, you know, they have to be included. They don't have to be close to you. You know, none of that stuff, but you do have to extend God's love. You know, you do. Because at some point in your life, you didn't have it all together, and somebody extended God's love to you. You know, whether it was God himself or, you know, somebody that God placed in your life, somewhere you encountered God's love. And that's why you decided to say yes to him. You decided to say yes to the kingdom. So we have to keep that in mind. No, we shouldn't tolerate, you know, disrespect and all that people try to give us. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying tolerate abuse from people and you know, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you still have to extend God's love through whatever it is that somebody has done to you, has said to you. Even somebody that has scammed you, you still have to show the love of God, but you don't give them the opportunity to scam you again. So yeah, that's where wisdom comes in. Yes, I forgive you. You scammed me. You took over $1 million out of my account. I forgive you, but I'm not going to give you another opportunity to do that again. So that's where certain things fall into place, because people get forgiveness and allowing people back into their lives, they get that mixed up. They feel like, you know, if I forgive them, then that means that I have to still be around them. That means I still have to give them access to my heart. No, that's not what it means. It means that you forgive them. First and foremost, you forgive them. You extend love to them. But no, forgiving does not mean that you have to allow that person back into your heart or into your space or whatever. You know, allow them into your personal business and all that other stuff. That's not what it means. But God is looking for you to forgive them. And so don't get that mixed up with allowing people back into your life. Because, you know, and listen, people at some point in their life, some people change, some people don't. But also, if that person ever comes to you, and I mean, they are sincerely, if they are sincerely apologetic and they turn their lives around and you can see change in their lives and you can see God working in their life, you know, you know, give them space with grace. You know what I mean? Let them see, you know, that you are with them in their journey. You're with them in their journey. That if they need you to pray with them, you know, be available to pray with them. Don't let that offense block, you know, what it is that God is doing in their lives. Like, be a part of that. Be a part of how God is working on their heart, and you can see God's manifestations working through that person. Like, you can truly see that they have changed. If this was somebody that's close to you, that was once close to you, somebody in your family, whomever it is, if they come back into your life and you can see God working through them and in them, and you've seen that they have changed. And listen, you will have to go before the Lord and make sure that what you see is real, because some people are very, very, very good at putting on, very good. Like, it looks real, and it was all a con. But everything that they said, their actions towards you, everything, you know, that they were confessing, it all looked real. But it was just a plot to get back into your life, to cause more destruction. So always go before God when it comes to everything. Everything. Always go before God, because some things may look to par, but they're really not. And so you just want to make sure that, you know, what you see is real, because a lot of things that we see, things that have the face, or it looks like it's the intent is coming from of the right place, because a lot of people now, what they're doing is they're using God's name, you know, they're using God's name to get people to believe in whatever it is that they're selling or doing. So they use God's name because they know that gets people's attention, but their intent is totally wrong. And so God will reveal, God will tell us, God will, in a dream, in a vision, through somebody else, something, God will reveal if this person is genuine or if it's just a plot, another plot from the enemy. Amen. All right, so now I'm going to go to John 1:1-4. 1 second. Excuse me. John, I think I read that already. Hold on. Yes, I did. So in the opening verses of the Gospel of John, it declares that the bright glory of Jesus has overcome the darkness in this world. John announced who Jesus is. Jesus is God. He was with God in the beginning, and all creation came through him. Although Jesus came into the world through the virgin birth, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have always existed and have always been in relationship with each other. We have a caller that wishes to speak. Your last four digits are 1816. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. This is, excuse me, Prophetess Kim. And it's not funny, but it's funny that you were talking about this, because I was just having this conversation last night with someone about walking in the light. And excuse me. And I had done a teaching on that, but I was listening to what you're saying, because I had something that just happened. And what you're saying is true. When we walk in the light, we as believers, and we pray, God will reveal those around us who are really not for us. Because I had an incident, and God started revealing. I went on a fast for like 2 weeks, and I just shut it down because I received a prophetic word from a man of God telling me that it was someone close to me that was going to do something like a Judas. And I said, okay, God, I need to know who this is. So I had to pray, and I went on the fast because I said, I can't be guessing. I need to know who it is so I know how to deal with it. And I'm sharing it because A lot of things you said I've had to walk through in this past month as God revealed who the person was, which a person who was very close to me, a person who I fellowship with, a person who I went out to eat with, a person who I traveled with and did things with. And it's like God just pulled like the light, literally. He just exposed the darkness and started showing me the true heart and intent of this person. And it's like, oh, my God. I mean, I was so shocked, the things that I found out. But now the challenge was to still walk in love, because this is someone I have to see. This is someone I have to interact with on a regular basis. So now I said, okay, God, now I have to keep my heart right, because I know what you did. And I know, and I'm talking about when I say a Judas, I'm saying just a straight betrayal, like just – I just found out, like, my character, like, damaging to my relationships with other people. I mean, it's just been horrible. But when we walk in the light and we truly want to please God, he will give us the grace to walk in love even in the midst of that. So it has been a real challenge. You know, we have to keep it real, because it's not as easy as we say, but it was a real challenge. And I have had to stay before God in prayer, and I've had to ask other people, look, pray for me, because I need my heart to stay right, because I have to deal with this person knowing what they did, and they're still smiling in my face, but I know what has been done. So now, you know, I have to govern myself accordingly. I still have to show the love of God, and I'm still praying for the person who did all the things they did to me. So this is something that God calls us as believers to do. When you say walk in the light and show the love of God, it's not just unbelievers. David said, if it were my enemy, then I could have dealt with it. And I'm paraphrasing the scripture, but he said it was my friend, mine acquaintance, one that was, you know, we believers. So this is not just for, you know, to show the love of God to others. Sometimes the enemy can be right in your own family, as you said, or even in your church, and can be another believer whose heart is not right for whatever reason. So this is really a challenge for all of us, or not a challenge, but a call for all of us as we end in this new year, to really, like you say, show the love of God to everybody. Because in the end, love always wins. And in the end, light is going to always uncover darkness. So I can't allow, and we can't allow, what people do to us, even when they're wrong, to cause us to miss heaven or to miss what God has for us, because clearly this person has things that they need deliverance from. So if I allow that to stop me or block me or hinder me, and I'm now not pleasing to God, then there's another issue. So, you know, I just wanted to share my own personal experience of something I had to deal with. But I'm going to tell you, even though, and I mean, it took a couple of years, but when we say walk in the light, God's word, God's light, God himself will always uncover the darkness and the true heart and intent of those around us. And then we ought to be light carriers. So we still have to show love. We still have to walk in the light, because some people are not going to go by, as unbelievers in witnessing, they're not going to go by what we say. They are watching how we behave. Mm-hmm. They are watching our actions when we don't even know that they're watching us. So we have to truly show his love to everybody, believers and unbelievers, especially during this Christmas time. Because this is what it's all about. It's about the love of God. It's not about Christmas gifts and all of that. We have to show the love of God and let somebody know that Jesus came on this earth. He was born to die. His assignment was death. So that's the love he has for us. And let me just plug in. This has nothing to do with the light, but it does. There's a song that Tasha Cobb sings, and it's called I Do It Again. So I would highly recommend everybody listen to that song, because she talks about the love of God and how he looks down over us, how he loves us. And if he had to go back to the cross again for us, he would do it again. If we could comprehend that love he has for us, it will make it easier for us to show that love to other people. And then the light of Christ will truly shine through each and every one of us as we go out. That's it. I'm going to be quiet and put myself back on mute. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for sharing what you shared, because this is a true a true example of what I was talking about. And although, you know, you're saying that that person is close to you, and but you still have to interact with that person. You still have to see that person because they, you know, because of ministry. And I think that's the hardest part. Excuse me one second. I think the hardest part is when it's those that are in ministry that are the ones that do the betrayal, because it's like, how do you now interact with the person? How do you now deal with the person when you know things that they don't know that you know, right? That they don't know that
That's
you know.
Right.
And so how do you now interact with them? It's hard, but it's not hard. But it's still like, because how do I interact with them without being phony? You understand what I mean? Like,
exactly. I don't want to be phony, and I don't want to have malice. And I said, okay, God. And I had to talk to leadership about it, because it wasn't just me. And initially I thought it was just me, but I discovered, no, you're doing this to a lot of people, and this is toxic. But like you said, then I have to, it's like, no, I don't want to, I'm not going to not speak. I'm not going to not be cordial, but I have to do it from a genuine heart, because I can speak to you and have bitterness and anger in my heart, but then that's not walking in the light. That's not truly walking in God's love. So I have to always remind myself that God loved me with all my mess, and he forgives me with all my mess. So who am I? Even though it was a betrayal, but I thought about with how Jesus handled Judas. Jesus never ostracized or downed Judas. He never, well, at the end he did point him out. But when Judas said, Lord, is it me? He just said, thou hast said. Because Jesus understood that it was part of his assignment, and he still, he knew what he had to do to fulfill his kingdom assignment for us. So thanks be unto God, even in the midst of that betrayal, Jesus is the great example. Because I went back and I studied the story of Judas after this happened, and I said, God, I need to get greater understanding of how you handled this thing with Judas, when Judas was, you know, coming to betray you. So it definitely takes prayer, and it really takes a relationship with Christ to work through it, because this is, you know, this is not just saying that I've lived through it, I've walked through it, and I'm still, you know, walking through it now, because this is only like, so we're still navigating through the whole process. But I thank God for getting me to a place where I could show the love of God, because I said, you know what, I'm not going to stop, I'm not going to miss my blessings, and I'm not going to have offense in my heart, because the truth is Judas had to have offense in his heart to even betray Jesus to begin with. But I said, I refuse to have offense in my heart to block, stop, and cause me to be displeasing to God because of what somebody else did. I'm not giving anybody that kind of power over my life and cause me to displease God and miss all the stuff that I'm believing God for because, you know, your heart is not right. So that's it. I'm going to mute myself again. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Again, thank you. Thank you so much for that real-time example of what it is that we are talking about. And you know, like I said, it's the how do you react now? How do you interact with that person? Are you still going to allow that person to be close to you? You know, hang out with the person. again, that's something that you have to go before the Lord about. Something that you have to go through the Lord about, because maybe the Lord wants you to minister deliverance to that person. You know, to help them be set free from whatever it is that's causing them to cause confusion, you know, within the ministry or whatever, relationship within the family, whatever it is. And, you know, to still be able to interact with a person even after you know what it is that was said, or whatever it is that they did, you know, that truly shows God's love. That, I mean, that truly shows God's love. And again, that's why we continue to extend God's love, because we've done things, we've offended somebody, we said something that may have hurt somebody's feelings, and there are times when we have said stuff that we don't even know hurt the person's feelings. But I'm telling you, there are things that we have said, you know, that have hurt people's feelings. There are things that we have done that have caused offenses, and we may not know, but God may reveal that to you. He may bring, you know, the interaction back to your remembrance and highlight something that you said, and then show you that that offended the person or that hurt that person's feelings, because people will withdraw from friendships and relationships when they have been hurt. They may not say anything to you about it, but they will withdraw, and you can see that. You can see it in their actions. You can see it. You can feel it. And sometimes we don't take the time to ask why. Sometimes we may know why, but it may be pride or fear or rejection, not knowing how to go back to that person, you know, whatever it is. But we must release the offense from our heart. We must release the offense from our heart. It is vitally important that you release the offense from your heart, because if not, it will take root there. It will take root in your heart, and weeds will begin to grow, and it will begin to those weeds will begin to just strangle your heart, and you'll wake up one day and you'll be so bitter, and you're trying to figure out how you got to that. It's because you carried those hurts and those offenses in your heart, and you didn't let them go. And so now those weeds have entangled, those roots have entangled itself around your heart. In your heart, it has become hardened, and you're in a place where you just, and I've seen where people will hear people say, I don't like people. What does that mean? Like, when you make a statement that says, I don't like people, what does that mean? Because does it mean that you don't like any, you know, them as a person, or does it mean that you don't like something that they did? Because just to make a general statement to say, I don't like people, does not make sense to me, because everybody that you interact with has not done something to you. So it has to come from somebody that has hurt you in some way or fashion as to the reason why you're making that statement. So I thank you all, because we're coming to the end. And I just thank you all. Thank you, Prophetess Kim, for sharing. Thank you so much for sharing that. I really pray that it helped someone today, and that God will just continue to work on your heart. And while he's working on your heart, just be receptive to what it is that he is doing, because he knows, and he knows what is in store for your life, and he doesn't want you to miss that. So thank you all again for joining. We know next week is Christmas. We'll be celebrating Jesus. So we will not be on next week. So Merry Christmas. You know, in the Saturday after that is New Year's. We probably won't be here for New Year. The New Year's Day as well. So, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, enjoy your family, your friends, whatever it is that you're doing, but don't forget the reason for the season, which is Jesus. Make sure that you spend time with him. So, again, have a awesome rest of the year. Be safe and release the hurt and offenses from your heart. Don't go into this new year still carrying it. Amen, 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 amen. All right, until next time, you know, enjoy, and we shall talk to you soon. Have a marvelous and blessed rest of your weekend. You know, enjoy the rest of your year. Don't let the enemy steal your joy anymore. If you have let him, don't let him steal any more of it, and turn your life back towards the Father. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.